on a Sunday morning. We have spent a great deal of time together. We hope that the world has spent a little time preparing for the coming of the light of Christ into our hearts. So I have a couple little stories this morning that kind of illustrates what I want to say. Two cars were waiting at a stoplight, and the light turned green. But the man didn't notice that it had turned green. And a woman in a car behind him is watching traffic pass all around them. How many have been in that situation? Yeah. The woman begins pounding on her steering wheel and yelling at the man to move. Let's go. Get out of the way. You're blocking traffic. Do I dare tell her to be quiet? But the man doesn't move. The woman is going ballistic inside her car. She's ranting and raving at the man pounding on her steering wheel and dash. Then the light turns yellow. And the woman begins to blow her horn and scream some choice words at the man. The man looks up and sees the yellow light, and he accelerates through the intersection just as the light turns red. This woman is just beside herself. She's screaming as she misses her chance to get through that intersection. As she is still in a mid-rant, she hears a tap on her window, and she looks up right smack into the barrel of a gun that was held by a very serious looking policeman. The policeman tells her to shut off her car while keeping both hands in sight. She complies. She's speechless at what is happening. And she shuts off the engine. The policeman orders her to exit her car with her hands up. She gets out of the car and he orders her to turn and place her hand on her car. Then he handcuffed her. And he takes her to the police station, where she is fingerprinted and photographed and searched and booked and placed in a cell. After a couple of hours, she was let out of the cell and escorted back to that booking desk where the original officer was waiting with their personal effects. He says, "I'm really sorry, ma'am. This was a mistake. But you see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn and while you were flipping this guy off in front of you and cursing a blue streak at him. And I noticed the Choose Life license plate holder, and that, and what would Jesus do bumper sticker." Okay, we goofed up here somewhere. Oh, and the follow me to Sunday school bumper sticker. And the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So the policeman said, "You know, naturally I assumed you had stolen this car from a real Christian. You see, that story runs the risk of making a think what that we are not allowed to fall short or give in from time to time. But what it does show is that the light is important. Go all the way back to the beginning of that illustration, and it all begins with noticing the light, the traffic signal that gives us direction. Last night we lit the Christmas trees because the light has come and it wants to give us direction. We lit the Christ candle in the center of the Advent wreath last night. We did again this morning. Because the light has come and wants to give us direction. The light of the baby Jesus. You see, light gives us the ability to see, function, and take care of our daily tasks. Rainy gray days have a profound effect on our mood, making us feel sluggish and bland. There are studies out that in the dark days of Alaska, this has the highest suicide ratings of any other time of the year. Bright sunny days gives us a pop and a jump to our step. A few months ago, a pastor was called to perform a funeral service for a member's father. So he set up a time to meet with the family and plan the service. While they were choosing the readings, the daughter said something to him that he will never forget. She said, "Pastor, we have to read Psalm 23. But not because it is always read at a funeral, but because I am in the shadow of death, only because of the light of Christ is shining." The preacher pondered her statement for a moment. Then he smiled at the revelation that she had laid before him. The only reason that there is a shadow of death is because the light of Christ is shining, causing that shadow. There wouldn't be any shadow if there were not a light. There wouldn't be a powerful light if it weren't for the Christ child. A simple step in either direction places us back into the glorious light of God. I step over here. I'm in the light. But through words and actions, attitudes, whatever it might be, I step over here. I'm out of the light. But if I return, I'm in that light. And behind me is a shadow that is only created because of the light of Christ. A man by the name of John Ruskin lived in the days when English villages were lit by lamp along the street. One evening he watched with his friend as a lamplighter moved slowly on a distant hill, lighting the lamps along the street. Ruskin said, "There is what I mean by being a real Christian. You can trace his course by the lights that he leaves burning." True with us. Oh, there's a light. Cool. Oh, there's another light. Awesome. Everything that we say and do that brings glory and honor to Christ leaves a light. And it is our job to keep that light burning. Today we celebrate that light from the star in heaven. We celebrate the light from the manger. We celebrate that John remind the light that John reminds us to pay attention to. He wrote this. You came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. We're talking about John the Baptist here. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's what John the Baptist told us the light was coming. That was his purpose. That is what he did as he traveled the wilderness, proclaiming the light of Jesus Christ is coming into this world. You see, God has given us light to see our way. Not only to see our own way through, but to spread the light of this day. The light of Christmas to all the world around us. That's what we are to do. How do we do that? First of all, keep Jesus in our celebration. After all, he's the reason for the season, right? Our message last night, we talked about stuff in the garage and stuff in the attics and out in the sheds and wherever it is that we keep our things that we just can't get rid of. And we bring them out on Christmas time and display them. Oh, I just, this came from my mother. I can't get rid of this. Or this came from here, or this came from there. And then we have this little figurine of Jesus laying in a manger. Maybe some of you have a nativity scene on the shelf or the table or wherever. And then as soon as Christmas is done, all this stuff goes back in the attic, including the baby Jesus. That's okay. Jesus is used to being in the attic. He's used to being tucked away all year long and just brought out during the Christmas season. He's familiar with that pain. And here we go, we bring him out again. We need to keep the light of Jesus out on display all year long in all of the things that we say and do. We need to stand in the light of Christ so our shadow is cast upon those that aren't familiar with that light and they ask us where it's coming from. A lady by the name of Edith Wharton once said, there are two ways of spreading the light. Listen to this. Two ways to spreading the light. You can spread it by being the candle, or you can spread it by the mirror that reflects it. We are the mirror that reflects the light of the candle. We are not the light just as John the Baptist was not the light. But we certainly can reflect it. Be a mirror. One of the best short essays written in this century was by a man by the name of Robert Test. Written during his lunch break, Robert Test only had a high school education, but he felt so passionate about something that he penned this essay. It's entitled, To Remember Me. and it has been widely reprinted. And it says this: at a certain moment, a doctor will determine that my brain has ceased to function, and that for all intent and purposes, my life has stopped. When that happens, do not attempt to install artificial life into my body by the use of a machine. And don't call this my deathbed. Call it my bed of life. And let my body be taken from it to help others to lead fuller lives. Give my sight to someone who has never seen a sunrise, or a baby's face, or love in the eyes of another. He goes on to write, give my heart to a person whose own heart has caused nothing but endless days of pain. Give my blood to the teenager who has been pulled from the wreckage of his car, so that he might live to see his grandchildren play. Give my kidneys to one who depends on a machine to exist from week to week. Take my bones, every muscle, every fiber and nerve, so that someday a speechless boy will shout at the crack of a bat, and a deaf girl will hear the sound of rain against the window. Burn what is left of me and scatter the ashes to the winds to help the flowers grow. If you must bury something, let it be my faults. Let it be my weaknesses and all of my prejudice against other humans. And give my sins to the devil. Give my soul to God. And if by chance you wish to remember me, do it with a kind deed or word to someone who needs you. If you do all that I ask, I will live forever. You see, we have a chance today to take Christmas with us. Not that we remain in the Christmas spirit for very long without burning ourselves out, but we can take the light with us so that the light of the star that leads the shepherds can reflect from us throughout the year to come. Somewhere along my journey, I cannot confirm this, but I remember being told by a science teacher that a star flickers in the sky because it is generating light, and the planets shine because they are reflecting that light. It's up to us. It is charged to us to reflect that light of Jesus Christ, to do it as much of this time so that the world shines with his light through us. We have received that light today, a light that pales all others. And I say, Emmanuel, God is with us today. A baby sleeps. The promise of a Redeemer is fulfilled. For now, we reveal it in God's goodness and take his love with us when we leave this place. That is my prayer. The greatest gift ever given a son is born. She named him Jesus. We call him Savior. And I say, Merry Christmas. And all of God's people said,